Hello!
Welcome to Movie Banter!
Micro Banter.
Hello! Should we just a little hello?
Just a tiny...
We're not really here this week. This is a little...
Leave a message. We'll get back to you as soon as you possibly can.
So we thought we'd just put this one out there, run up the flagpole and see if anyone salutes it.
Just to tie you over in your film bantery.
Exactly.
Oh, no, not...
That's Jack... John's off... John is Jack Bauer, you see. Called away. Right, so we've lost John, so I'll cut to the chase, which is that, this is just a little mini 5 minute or so episode, just a little banter and a half, just half a little banter. And John has been called away, and Jen's not even here, so just me talking to you, to say that we have got some unbroadcast little bits of that interview with Andrew Collins. You may have heard over previous weeks, Andrew Collins, the Radio Times film editor, podcaster, connoisseur, movie expert, broadcaster, writer, everything. A fine film critic and reviewer himself, and he gave up his time to talk to us here at Movie Banter about some of his favourite films. And we've got another about 5 minutes or so that we have yet to broadcast. So, we thought we'd put it all out there now for you in this little bonus episode until we're back again with a proper, full-on episode next week, or next fortnight, or whenever we're here. But it'll be about then. So let's go straight over to me interviewing Andrew Collins.
Carry On Films, obviously seen them all. They start off okay, they get brilliant in the 60s. They're brilliant between about 63 and 69. They are absolutely on fire, the Carry On team. No matter what Kenneth Williams might say in his diaries, they were on absolute fire. And they were the years when they did the really big spoofs, leading up to Henry. So Carry On Screaming was horror, obviously. They did Cleo on the same sets that Elizabeth Taylor's husband made on. Up the Khyber, Cowboy, they were just terrific. It was a fantastic run. And everybody was on good form. Carry On Screaming, on paper, shouldn't be one that I like, because Sid James isn't in it. And I miss Sid James when he's not in the Carry Ons. But he wasn't in that one. Harry H. Corbett was. So, apart from it looking beautiful, it just looks like a Hammer horror. It's the same film stock. Everything about it looks like Hammer horror. So, it's an incredibly affectionate and convincing spoof of the type of film that it's supposed to be. Within that, all the funny euphemisms. Jim Dale is very funny in it. But the man who steals it is Harry H. Corbett, who come from Steptoe, was, as everyone now knows, sort of frustrated proper actor who's kind of locked into this relationship with Wilfred Bramble on Steptoe. And you could tell when you watched Steptoe how good he is as an actor. Brilliant performance. Yeah, yeah. He kind of still plays the same character in this. He's a detective, but he may as well be Steptoe in sort of Victorian times. So it's a beautiful performance, really funny, amazing physical comedy from him and Jim Dale. The Carry Ons receive a sort of bad press during the 80s for being sexist, which they obviously were, but that's just the time they were made in. People were not that advanced sexually. The sexual revolution took a while to reach the parts of Hertfordshire where the films were made. And, there was seaside postcard humour and all that stuff. Yeah. And the defences have now been made, and we can now accept them as just, they're time capsules. They're bits of social history. And my argument against the sexism charges is that the men are idiots in all of them.
True.
Idiots, ugly, flabby idiots, or ugly, skinny idiots. They're not beefcakes. They're not beating their wives. They might have bad attitudes, but they're ultimately idiots.
And you compare them to the American high school brat films, and actually, our versions were, they just say they're idiots as opposed to, hunks.
But, and what makes them sexist is that they're full of partially revealed female flesh, which is there for titillation.
Well, true.
At a time when you couldn't get titillation like that anywhere else.
In fact, I think Carry On Screaming was the first Carry On film I saw.
Yeah.
And it was probably my, as a teenager, one of my first film crushes with the, I don't know who played it, but the Elvira type role in there.
Fenella Fielding.
Fenella Fielding, absolutely, yeah.
Fenella Fielding, who I saw outside this very library on this piazza.
Oh, really?
Just walking past. She's an old lady now. Yeah. Looks amazing. Still kind of, obviously carries herself in a way that suggests that she's still glamorous.
Yes.
Amazing to see.
Yeah.
She's brilliant in it. Also, Angela Douglas is also, I fancy her even more. Angela Douglas plays Jim Dale's wife, or girlfriend, who gets... She's the first one to be taken away to be turned into a wax dummy.
Oh,
brilliant.
Yeah. I want to see it now.
It's a superb film. Yeah. It's way above nostalgia. This is not nostalgia. You can often get married to a film and go on about it because you saw it an interesting time in your life. And I saw it when I was very young and was scared.
Yeah, it is. It's a scary film. It's
really
not just
scary.
Funny. It's
I was
scary.
Really scared of Odd Job.
Frightened.
Odd Job and Odd Job Junior. When Odd Bod Junior is kind of reactivated from Odd Bod's finger by John Pertwee playing the Mad Professor.
Yeah.
It's amazingly scary, I thought, it just sort of really bad special effects appears. And there he is. And he goes, remember Odd Bod Junior says that. because he's supposed to be a baby, like a baby version of Oddworld.
Right. Yeah,
he's all gruff. He's grunts. And Oddworld goes, and he hasn't got any clothes on, obviously, because he's been generated with a finger. So when he comes back, Kenneth Williams' character, Dr. Watt, thinks that he is Oddbod without any clothes on. He goes, Oddbod! Oddbod, put some clothes on. It's absolutely brilliant.
It's a fine movie.
Yeah. I like lots and lots of different films. I don't have any snobberies about films. I don't think that big, fat, noisy blockbusters are bad because they are that. They are often bad because not enough thought goes into them and too many writers write them. But I've got nothing against them. I will go and see the big blockbusters, and I like going to see the big blockbusters. Even if I know they're aimed at people a third of my age, which these days is probably more like a quarter of my age. But I'm interested to see them, and I like to see the films that are based on computer games. You know, I want to see them, but I'm often disappointed by them. And what usually happens is films that cost less, that have a better idea somewhere in the middle of them, or are authored, which foreign films are very often authored. It's massively generalistic, but you know what I mean?
Yeah.
A lot of French films and Italian films often come from auteurs, and I like that.
Yes,
I like the people who write and direct. I think that's a nice thing. You wrote it and you directed it. That's good. That's why I like people like Wes Anderson, who are Americans doing the same kind of thing. Really.
Yeah.
You know, the best American films are the ones that are most influenced by European cinema, whether it's old European cinema or modern European cinema. And it's very difficult for us in this country to do what they do, which is have a lot of people sitting there talking. Kind of what they do in a lot of those films. Not a massive amount happens in some of my favourite French films is that people sort of relationship films and just sort of talk, sit around for a bit, a fag, and have a coffee, and sometimes have a glass of wine, sometimes have sex, and then talk about that afterwards.
Yeah.
It's really hard to do that in this country, in this language, in the culture that we live in.
One film I saw recently, actually, which I don't know, wouldn't for that, but it's Before Sunrise.
Yeah, nice.
Again, a lovely talky film.
Linklater is one of those rare Americans who really makes some European films.
Yeah.
Absolutely. That's like a French film. It's like an Italian film. It could be any of the great European filmmaking nations, because he clearly just loves those films.
Yeah.
You know, he didn't go to film school. He worked on an oil rig.
Is that right?
Yeah,
really?
and I think he started out at college and dropped out. But in Austin, Texas, he basically just gorged. I think he left the oil rig and just watched loads of films.
Yes.
Just watched loads and loads of films. The Austin Film Society or something like that, which is still going. And he's a kind of self-taught, is not quite right, but self-taught.
Yeah.
Yeah, self-taught.
Well, you can tell
he just watched loads of films.
Something like Slacker, which I saw years ago. And you can tell that's a guy not really basing what he's doing on other people's films. No. He's making his own film.
Film, Slacker, actually. Yeah. I watched it recently because I had to go and interview him. Right. So it's like the treat of the week was to watch some of his old films again, I was back in the Linklater groove.
Yes.
And actually, in real life, he's not super articulate. This is not a criticism, but he kind of isn't. He goes off at tangents, he finishes the sentence and then starts another sentence. So actually, transcribing the interview is quite hard, because it's very conversational, thoughts coming into his head and then trailing off.
Yeah.
So he isn't the most articulate man I've ever met.
Right.
But his films are so articulate.
The
words that he gives his characters. Absolutely. Slacker, everybody thinks Slacker's improvised, and it's the exact opposite. He wrote Slacker down to the last syllable and gave it to non-actors to read out. Mm. And because of that, they didn't bring loads of acting tricks to it. They just they kind of lived it. So it feels like a lot of real people just living on this day in Austin. But they're all reading out his script.
Right.
So really, when you know that, you go back and watch it, it's even more amazing.
Yeah, because I it does give the impression of being improvised. Yeah.
Because they walk along, another character walks past them and the camera follows that person. Yeah. It's almost like it's made up as it goes, it's the exact opposite.
I want to go and see that now.
Yeah.
So Slacker, hang on, Screaming and Slacker.
Slacker is one of those videos, DVDs. It's quite cheap to buy. I didn't have either. I bought Dazed and Confused and Slacker.
A good film as well.
Not having time to order them online and wait for them to come. I had to do it quickly. I bought them and it was £8 for the two.
Oh, really?
It was HMV, but that's it doesn't matter. I mean, anywhere that's got a big selection, the kind of things you get. You've got to get.
Absolutely.
You've got to get Slacker.
I've got Slacker on video, which I can't watch anymore, I need to go and upgrade that one.
I didn't sell them actually. I gave them all to charity. I gave all my videos away.
Oh, wow.
That's
a collection. It
went to various secondhand shops and charity shops around the Reigate, Redhill area where I was living at the time.
Yeah.
And nobody would take them all, obviously. Yeah. So I just drove round from one to the next, and they all gave them a box.
Wow.
So my collection was spread across Surrey.
Wow, the Andrew Collins video collection. It sounds like the Oxfam on Kensington Road sort of thing, where you get all the best stuff. Really,
yeah, well, I hope that people bought them, and I hope people have enjoyed them.
Absolutely.
Because they used to sell, I think they still do sell them, videos, that is, but like a quid a time.
Yeah,
sometimes you go to Oxfam, they sell you for a quid, so I'm hoping that, Oxfam made a quid from, or whoever it was, various different hospices who had charity shops around there. But they made some good money from it, and people have got pleasure from my old videos.
Absolutely.
I had, this is seems bizarre now, it's not about films, but it is about videos, that you could, I was a big fan of ER, but I hadn't watched it from the beginning, sort of caught up with it a couple of years in, and you could join this video club.
Oh, yeah.
It was advertised probably in Radio Times. And you basically got sent a new video every month.
Right.
It's like a book club.
Oh, yeah, okay.
It was the ER club.
Nice.
ER video club. And I started to do this and got so many. Because you can only get 2 episodes on a video.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And they're 22 episodes long, most of the series.
Yeah, yeah.
So there's 11 boxes for each series. And I got about into about 4 or 5 series. Yeah. And they took up so much room.
I can imagine,
so much room.
Yeah, yeah.
Whereas now, you can get a whole series on a tiny
thing. I had a friend actually who a couple of years ago said this DVD thing that's not going to last. He still had a video thing, and so he made it. You know, he was going around Oxfam and Save the Children, getting all these videos.
All mine,
probably all yours.
Good.
He lives in Guildford actually. He's probably not far from my gate. He probably got yours.
I bet he picked up a couple of mine. I'm glad he did.
I went around his house recently and I couldn't see a single video. He's now got DVDs.
Oh, really?
So I thought, oh, there you go. That didn't last. There you are.
Yeah. But it's I love the fact you can get such a lot onto a disc, so therefore don't have to take up half your space of your house just for having a series anymore.
Right.
But yeah, those ERs are amazing. There were like 3 or 4 shows that were just ERs.
Yeah, wow.
It looked good because they were colour coded.
You look obsessed suddenly.
I know. Like, why are you obsessed with hospitals?
Some medical doctor, some medical student. Yeah, lovely. Well, thank you very much indeed for your time. You've been most generous.
Great fun sitting outside.
And
the
wonderful.
About
that's the future.
Yeah.
Future. Well,
Let's add to the conversation.
We'll have to do it again. Absolutely. Yeah. Wonderful.
And it didn't rain. So
it didn't rain. Huzzah with that.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Thank you, Andrew Collins.
Cool. Thank you very much, Paul.
Wonderful.
Well, there you go. That was Andrew Collins with a fine interview. Thank you much indeed, Andrew, for your time once again. I'm sure you're not listening, but thanks anyway. And so this has been Movie Banter. John isn't here, Jen isn't here, but this is Paul Carenza signing off. Thank you much indeed for listening. And do tune in again next time on Movie Banter. You can email us in the meantime any of your movie-based thoughts or questions at podcast@moviebanter.co.uk or we're on Twitter as well, which is twitter.com/moviebanter. So why not find us there? Ta-ra for now.